Okay. We should start with requests for prayer. I have, yes.
Well, we've been praying for our kids. They've made a huge decision. They are moving back to the Quad City.
Okay. Really?
Load up and head up here.
Good.
So, but it's been a rough week, very emotional for our daughter. She wants to move home, but she doesn't. She's scared. Jeff and I and Mom have all been praying that God would intervene and show her that, you know, this is a plan, and things have been falling into place.
Imagine that. Well, we can continue to pray about that situation. And AJ and Sean's perspective, yes.
My daughter-in-law, Amanda, doesn't have one new tumor. She has four. Her doctor, they're sending her tomatoes because she doesn't
wait. You know, what kind of cancer?
It's so rare. In 20 years, Dr. Creed has never seen it.
Okay. Amanda's last name? Make sure we get her in the prayer list, okay? Anyone else? Young lady, it's good to see you here. I'm almost over with my 6 month of chemo. We get to go see doctors first week in June to see what's next. So I'm not usurping the power of God, but I could use your intercession. We both could. Anybody else? Y'all doing that good? I want to live with you. What are you eating?
I'm praising the Lord. I finally lost 70 pounds. My goal is
awesome.
To do that by June, and I've already beat it by 2 weeks.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you for this time. For an opportunity to corporately look into your word and glean some things maybe that we've missed. Father, there is no more important pursuit that we can have than understanding who you are and how you work and the kind of person you are. That's what this study is all about. Knowing you more, knowing you better, so that when we face difficulties in our lives, when we face things we don't understand, we turn to you and not to our own devices or our own thinking. We have your word. We have your spirit. We have the witness of your son, and we have your plan. What more do we need? Father, I pray for those requests that have been made today. Some are difficult. Some we rejoice in the way you work and how clear it is. We ask that you would work in each life so that your glory would be displayed. That's what we're about. That's our purpose. To enjoy you, Father, help us to do that. Don't let the things of this earth get in the way of that, I pray. We thank you for this time. Father, I pray that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your will or to your word, but that you would receive all glory and honor as we look to your word. We thank you for this time, and we give you our praise and our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I don't know how far we're going to get today. But we left off on our eighth point, the study of God and the study, We're going to be looking at the Psalms today and going forward. Psalm 5 is where we're going to end up starting. It's where we're going to start. And then we'll move forward from there. Study of the attributes of God should enhance our prayer life. And we just touched on that briefly the last time we met. We all pray, right? Little dog in the back of the car, you remember those? That's what I want to see. We all pray. How do you do that? I have to ask the question because, you know, we pray before we sit here, and we ask God to reveal himself, to work in us, in our lives, in our circumstances. I think I mentioned last week, and if I didn't, then it may be something that, you know, that I should have mentioned. When was the last time you sat down before God, whether it was driving the car or going into a closet or doing any of those things, and just praising and thanking him for who he is and not requesting something of him? Because, brothers and sisters, he knows what you need, okay? And he's given us this wonderful thing we call prayer so that we can communicate with him in this aspect. But when was the last time you just simply went before God and fell on your face and said, you know, I love you so much. All I want to do right now is praise you and thank you. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't, but if we only find ourselves going before him and saying, Daddy, I need. Daddy, I need. Daddy, fix this. What are we missing? What are we missing in that relationship that we have with him? If your husband or your wife constantly came to you and said, you know, I need this. I need this. I want this. I need this. I need this. And never said, I love you, dear. It'd be a one-sided relationship, would it not? Now consider who we're talking to. The Almighty, the Sovereign of the universe, who is not surprised by anything or anyone in what they do. You know, I have to chuckle. Because I know enough scripture to know that when somebody stands up and says, the end of the world is the 21st, okay, I have to laugh. Because scripture says, you know, he will come as a thief in the night. He's not going to put it on a billboard. No, I'm sorry. I have to chuckle. I don't want to detract. How is this study enhancing your prayer life? Can you quantify it? Or is this another waste of breath and time and effort? How does God being God enhance the way you pray?
But
There's a precept in His Word. We are to count our blessings, to name them. That's right. I mean, we get too busy. We get too consumed with the things that we see. And I think we miss that intimacy, because pretty much everything we've talked about is a roadmap for that deeper intimacy with Him, to know Him better, to understand how excellent He is, will change not only the way we walk and the way we talk, but it'll change our perspective mentally when these things come up. I mean, there have been times in my life when inside my head, I'm thinking, okay, God, I don't understand it, but I thank You for it. And outwardly, I don't show that. It's like this is the platform from which, this is the law in Mark's heart. Regardless of what happens, I'm supposed to thank God. And sometimes that's difficult. It's very difficult. Because I think our perspective is that He's that resource that we pull from, not our Heavenly Father. Okay? Yeah.
I feel I'm worthy to even go to prayer if I'm not thanking Him first. Not for what He does.
Uh-huh.
But for, like you said, His attributes, His character, for who He is. When I do that, my perspective on my life takes the focus off of me and puts it where it belongs, on Him.
Okay. And we're gonna get into that a little bit more. Knowing God's character not only instructs us about what, and this is a biggie, what we should pray for. Or I should say, what we shouldn't mess with. Okay? That which is in accord with His character. But it also assures us that God is able and willing to answer our prayers. We read in Corinthians that we can go boldly before the throne of grace to seek mercy and grace when we need it. We don't have to wait for a third party to go before the throne in our behalf. We go to Him directly. We have access that people 2,000 years ago did not have. And I think it becomes mundane. We don't think about it as that opportunity, because our culture has always kind of taken that for granted, because they've never experienced it the other way. We've never had to go to a third party. I mean, the closest thing we get to it, I think, is the Catholic Church, where we go and confess our sins before another. But we're commanded to confess our sins to one another. So we really can't bust their chops, because they may have it a little off kilter, but there is that precept about confessing and clearing up things that would fester and otherwise keep our relationship hindered. Once again, the book of Psalms, petitions, we see the petitions of men linked to the attributes of God. And I want you to turn to Psalm 5. And we're going to look at verses, Psalm 5. And I'm going to start in the back, because I usually start up here. Okay, you want to pray? Or you want to pray? You want to read? Nice and loud, so everybody can hear you. Psalm 5, let's look at verses. I have this marked. I have this mead. Yeah, let's look at 1 through 5. Nice and loud. Did you hear that? Who wrote this psalm? Okay. Do you know where he was at in his life? Not a good place. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Please listen to me. Consider my groaning. The word translate is request. Okay. But it's a pretty ardent request. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, in the morning, start your day this way. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice, and in the morning I will order my prayer to you. And eagerly watch. Do we have an anticipation when we go before God? We are on our knees. We're on our rear end. We're prostrate before Him. Do we have an anticipation that God is going to answer our petitions? Or are we just going, our prayers are getting no further than the ceiling? Is there an expectation that what we are petitioning God for, He will give us? In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice, and in the morning I will order my prayer to you. And that's a unique sentence structure. He's going to pray, but he's going to pray first things first. I will order my prayer. And the first thing I'm going to say is that you, O Lord, are my life. You, O Lord, are my breath. It is to you, O Lord, I pray, because I understand where I am and where you are. And I understand your willingness to meet with me, to interact with me. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells within you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all that do iniquity. What do we understand about God's character from David's petition? What do we know about God from the way David prays? How do we know that?
Because he says he hates
evil. This is David speaking, okay? What does he know about God that we don't? Is this you? Think about it. Look at what David says. Heed the sound of my groaning. Heed my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. It's not going to be, you know, if I wake up at 9 or 10 or 11. In the morning, when I wake, you're going to hear me. That's my desire. You are going to hear me. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. I'm going to wait. We don't wait very easily in this culture. We do not. We don't say, we don't look to God and say, okay, I'm going to wait for you to speak. We go, we say our prayer, and we go about our day. And I don't want to bust your chops. I can look at that as it's in his hands and I'm going forth. But people make decisions. They live their lives. They walk their walk. And sometimes they just don't give heed to what they've just said. I'm going to eagerly wait and watch for you to work. For you, David understands something here that I think we can should get our arms and legs and head around. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you, and the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. What are we doing? What are we when we are boastful? Pride. Okay. When we are that proud to stand before God, I don't even want to say it, but we do it all the time. We do it our way. None of this is new. David wrote this, 3,000 years ago. Nothing has changed. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. And I'll continue on just briefly. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, mercy, by your abundant mercy, I will enter your house, your holy temple. I will bow in reverence before you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. And he continues on. He says, hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. We see pride and we see rebellion here. When was the last time we called a spade a spade? When was the last time we saw something that was so abhorrent that we could not do anything but speak out about it? It's a difficult thing. I think we tend, because of our humanness, to avoid that kind of conflict. But this is your God. We should like what he likes, and we should hate what he hates. And if I'm speaking an untruth here, please speak up. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with a shield. That's the kind of prayer we need to be getting up and praying in the morning and meditating on through the day. I know your strength, and it's enough. My circumstances are nothing compared to your power and your ability to take care of them because of your faithfulness. I heard that. How does that enhance the way we pray? Does it change the way we pray? This is an awesome vehicle for us. No other system of belief has this, because no other system of belief has a God who answers, who is there, who comforts, who corrects, who does everything our God does because he is righteous and holy. How does it change the way you pray? Or does it? I look at people and how they react to circumstances. You may know this guy, you may not. Kurt Butterfield. You know him? You know him? They decided to just let him go. You saw the blog? Okay. In talking with Jared about a week ago, he said of Kurt, you know, he at one time was a very strong believer in Christ. And over a period of time, for whatever reason, whether it was apathy or whether it was seeing Christians and the way they walk, moved away from the faith. And the great comfort I have is that our God is faithful. And that which he has committed, he'll see to completion. You look at your kids and you look at circumstances in your life and how you've changed or how others have seemingly fallen away. I take great comfort in knowing that I'm not God and that he's in charge. And those things that people have committed to him aren't the same kind of thing like we commit as human beings. I can like you one day and not like you the next. Our God isn't like that. When he redeems forever. Whether you finish well or not. You can't. And what belongs to God? Our salvation. The scripture says so. Salvation belongs to our God. We take great comfort in that. We take great comfort in that when our kids stray. We take great comfort in that when we have circumstances that just blow our minds. That we don't fully understand. How do people live without that kind of resource? Seriously. It literally boggles my mind. And we have to be conscious of what we say and what we do, because you don't know how God is working in a life. I mean, if you read Kurt's wife's blog, it's very antithetic. There's very little that's the word I'm looking for. You know, I don't see his wife sharing that, you know, he's looking toward that day. He's looking toward heaven, a better place, a place with no pain, no injury, that we can glorify our God in his presence. I don't see that. Is it too late for Kurt? Or is our God able? Okay? You know, people will say, you know, as long as there's life, there's hope. Yeah. What about those things that people have committed to Christ at an early age, let's say? Are those things still valid? I hope so. Because my God is still faithful. When your kids stray, it's hard. When they do things that are stupid, you have to understand that they're human. I'm not, yeah, exactly. You are God's children as much as your children are yours. Did that make sense? Okay, I didn't want to confuse anybody. You know, we show a lot of grace. And if we're capable of showing that kind of grace to our kids, how much more? I hear it in the scriptures as I read. How much more will God do that for us? Oh, it's an awesome thing. You should be encouraged. But if you're not in the Word daily, you know, meditating on it daily. David didn't have a copy of a book he could open up. What he had was a revelation that God had given him and the power that God had shown him. And that's what he had. He understood. What was David called? A man, what? Okay? We can be that. That's not outside of our realm, because we are His. Carol can be a woman after God's own heart. We can do that. I think we neglect our prayer life to a point where Satan has the opportunity to get in and make us doubt what he's capable of, what he's like, where his power lies, kind of character he has. Point number 9, a study of God's attributes enhances our witness. We're going to go from our prayer life here to our witness. Hey, we got time. Tell me what your witness is. What is it to witness? I'm going to make you write it down on a piece of paper and turn them in so that we can all read them to the class. What is your witness? Okay? Okay? Okay, I got share. What did you say? How you live. What did you say? Glenda? So, life. How it's changed. What did you say? I have short-term memory problems. Share. How we share. When I say that we need to witness... Have you heard that term before? Okay. What does that mean? What does that conjure in your mind? We need to witness. Yeah, let's get us a corner and a Bible and tracts. And we see that? That's a thumper. When I was first saved, I grew up for a period of about 3.5 years in a church that liked to thump. I mean it. Character not in question. The guy that led me to the Lord was a decent man. His theology at the time was fine for me, and as I learned more, I started, you know, you couldn't say once saved, always saved in his presence without there being a fist fight spiritually. Because, you know, if you do something wrong, you're going to lose it. He was big on witnessing. How many of you older folks, and I count myself as one of them, remember the I Found It campaign? How was that? How did that work? Oh, you loved it. How about the rest of you? Now, some of you are too young to even have an idea. There was a program, an outreach, where outrage, well, you know, the older I got, the more outrageous it got, because I looked at that and we were literally committing to making calls, a certain number of calls you signed up for, and for 4 hours you called people out of the phone book and talked to them about a new life in Jesus Christ. Sounds admirable, doesn't it? Do you know how many people I felt this big at the end of that 4 hours because people would go, we went through training and I had absolutely no clue of what I was doing. Okay? I just knew that I needed to do it. You see, I was 18 years old. But I did it because I found it. It was kind of catchy. I had a bumper sticker on my car. Yeah, and the button. It was unique. Was it right? Did you see fruit from that? Okay. Yeah, I'm telling you, I remember several names that come to mind of people that wanted to chat, okay? I didn't know who I was talking to. I didn't know their background. None of that was relevant. We were just supposed to do that. Shoot. Mike Kennedy can tell you that in Chicago, Moody has part of the curriculum is you literally go out and minister on the street. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think we need to rename it. I think it's you know, I don't know what the term would be that I would use, but I don't know if it's as effective as somebody living their life in a manner worthy. Oh. An example, this nutcase. The world's going to end on the 21st. People who have any idea that you might be someone like that you might be that peculiar, that you might believe in this Jesus, will look at him and they will, they're going to look at you and say, you're the same kind of nutcase, okay? It's real. We laugh at it, but it's real. We talk about service here, and I'm encouraged by some of the things that the guys are doing on Thursday night. They're actually putting feet to what they're doing. It starts here. It starts in our home. It starts with our body here. But it can't stop there. It can't. If it's just for us, then we might as well be a cloistered nunnery. Okay? We need, as we walk and we live and we interact with people, take opportunity where we have it. You don't know what your words and what your actions speak. The volumes they speak. When you think, you're not saying anything. It's just that important. How does knowing God intimately, understanding his character, enhance our witness? Theologically correct here. Men can only be saved when they come to recognize that they are lost. Okay? And they will only see their sin when they begin to recognize God as the one who is holy and righteous and just. Now, some of this is from a commentary, so I'm going to put my sideline over here. Our expectations need to be on hold here for a moment. I'm going to read this to you again. People who are lost first must recognize that they're lost. Let's not get the cart before the horse, which a lot of believers do. And they will only see their sin when they begin to recognize God. Does the unsaved person recognize God to begin with?
Unspiritual can't discern
You're right. So let's dwell on when they come to recognize that they are lost. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in their lives to start that regeneration process, even though that work began before the foundations of this world. Okay? It's kind of a mind blower. And we're not going to get too deep into it. Paul's conversion. We know about Paul's pedigree. We know about Paul. Paul's conversion is a dramatic illustration of this recognition of human depravity in light of God's glory. Look what happened on the road to Damascus. Look at the character of Paul prior to that. And he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of being the person he was. He thought he was doing the world a favor, getting rid of this vermin called Christianity, these believers in the way. He thought he was doing his righteous duty by locking them up, because what Jesus spoke was contrary to what the law had been teaching them for hundreds and hundreds of years. Let's leave with 9 verses in Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9. It's a little more than that. See, tell you what. So I'm not keeping you beyond my allotted time. Your assignment, that's the word I was looking for, is read Acts chapter 9, 1 through chapter 9, verse 1 through 22. Okay? It will be familiar to you. What I want you to think about is the contrast of God's glory in this and human depravity. Okay? God's glory versus human depravity. As we look next week, and next week is the 29th. It's our long weekend, Memorial Day. As we look at that next week, a couple of things I want you to look for. Where's God showing his glory? And where is man's depravity shown in that passage of Scripture? Okay. Do you know what depravity is? Because you were all at one point in time so depraved that you couldn't help yourself. Do you know what depravity is? It's not just the murderer on the street who commits a heinous crime. It is someone who consciously rejects what God has offered. And we are all, from the day we are born, totally depraved, unable to help ourselves. So think about that as you read that passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that it just give us clarity and understanding, Father, as we look to your word. We desire to know your character more fully than we do today. It's easy for us to get sidetracked, and that is no excuse. We've been given your Spirit. We've been given a level of understanding as to who you are and what you've done. And you've borne it out in us. You've shown us the change in our own lives. It just seems contrary for me to think that we wouldn't desire others to have that same kind of understanding. And more often than not, we're like the last person that gets out of the door closes it behind them with no thought of those on the other side. Father, I pray that you would bear this on our hearts. Bring this to our remembrance as we walk this week and we interact with those who don't know you. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much time they have. You've just called us to live lives in a manner worthy, to speak when we have opportunity. Father, I pray that you would do that for us so that we can glorify you in what you've done in us. We thank you, Father, for your word, for what it shows us about ourselves, but more importantly, what it shows us about you. We give you our thanks and our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.